Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, July the 14th. And welcome to our commentary. You know, I just saw a story a couple of minutes before going or starting the recording that Donald Trump's first wife, I think her name is Ivana Trump, passed away today. She was 73 years old. I believe she died of cardiac arrest. But that's pretty incredible. That's the woman that he was married to so many years ago. And the mother, of course, of his three sons, Donald, Ivanka, and I forgot the other young man's name. But, you know, Mrs. Trump, or the first Mrs. Trump, passed away today at age 73. So our condolences to the Trump family, especially her three children, who are very much in the news if you follow the local politics. Well, the big shoe fell today. You know, yesterday we talked about inflation, and I said that there was another big shoe to drop, and that's what they call the producer price index, which is roughly the wholesale price. And that's 11% that went up, showed up at 11%. That's a horrible number. And what that tells you is that we're going to have inflation for a while. So I think what those of us who remember 1982, I'm not saying that it's going to be identical to 1982. Nothing is ever identical, but history does repeat itself in many ways. And back in 1982, in order to bring down that inflation, you needed a very big recession, and that's what we had. In 1982, the interest rates went up just like they will right now. You had a lot of businesses that went out of business. You had a lot of people who couldn't pay their mortgages, particularly people who were in variable interest rates. Those were popular back then, where you would, you know, get a mortgage and a variable rate, so it would go up and down. Well, when it went up to 20%, people just couldn't pay their mortgage. They couldn't pay their cars. They couldn't pay their loans. So it was a very nasty, nasty situation. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be identical to that. We will have a recession. How bad of a recession, time will tell. But you're going to see businesses closing. You're going to see some layoffs. And you're going to see some problems, because the only way you can shut down, the only way you can squeeze inflation out of a economy is to do what the Fed is about to do, which is to raise interest rates, and you're going to see a slowdown in the economy. Exactly when we will go into a recession, some people think we're in a recession already, but remember that famous line, I think it was from President Truman, who said a recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose your job. So I don't think we're going to have a depression, but my goodness, it's going to get very interesting here in the next 6 to 12 months. And again, if you remember 1982, you know what I'm talking about. It was a very bad year for the American economy. So inflation, 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 that's going to be the one word that you're going to be hearing quite a bit. Well, I have a post over at the American Thinker today about López Obrador, the president of Mexico, visiting the United States. I have another one coming out tomorrow about President López Obrador as well. And in both cases, I am criticizing López Obrador for sticking his nose in American politics. But I'm even more critical of President Biden for letting him do that. And let me give you a couple of examples. Somebody asked President López Obrador to comment on Governor Abbott's policy here in Texas of picking up people and sending them back to the border. And the president of Mexico got very irritated and said that's immoral, you know, sending them back. Well, that may be how he feels, and he's got a right to feel that way. But you don't say that when you're the guest in another country. Now, you might tell President Biden that in private. You might say, well, you know what, I don't think that's a good idea. But to say it in public and to be critical of the governor of a state in the United States, whatever you may think of the policy, and, you know, he has a right not to like the policy, but you don't comment on policies of the country you are visiting. What he should have said is, look, you know, I don't want to get into local politics. That's a matter between the governor of Texas and the people of Texas. And, you know, I'm the president of Mexico, and that's, ask me questions about Mexico. That's what he should have said, but he didn't. He got into politics. And of course, Governor Abbott very ably turned that around and said, well, I guess we know who's voting for Beto O'Rourke. And that is the governor, the president of Mexico, of course. The president of Mexico cannot vote in Texas, but I think we know where Governor Abbott is going. But the reality is that when you're the guest, when you're the head of state and you travel to another country, you do not get involved in local politics. If a reporter is asking the question, and look, sometimes reporters are looking for controversy. Let's not kid ourselves. And probably this time they were looking for that controversy. But what you say is, look, I don't get involved in matters of Texas politics or U.S. politics. I'm the president of Mexico, and that's my job. And leave it at that and simply not answer the question. Now, you may remember back in 2010 that there was something called the Arizona law, and that was a very controversial anti-illegal immigration law that was passed in the state of Arizona. And that became almost like an international story. And the president of Mexico at the time, Calderon, came to the United States, spoke to the Congress, and criticized that particular law in the Congress of the United States. Well, that was bad too. And I think what we're seeing here is not only was President Obama weak in letting Calderon back then criticize in the law of Arizona, but we're seeing that as well from President Biden. You do not allow a foreign head of state to criticize internal politics or to get involved in internal politics. You can talk about this privately when you close the door and you're talking between the two of you. That's fine. You can talk whatever you want. But you don't let a foreign head of state criticize a governor of your country or a law that was passed by the state of Arizona. And I think in both cases, what we're seeing is that President Biden is weak in how he's handling this. And I mentioned in yesterday's video that President Lopez Obrador is a very ambitious man, and he's looking way beyond Mexico. He wants to be the leader of the third world. He wants to be an international leader, and he's looking beyond Mexico. And that's why he said, I'm kind of surprised, frankly, in this press conference that nobody asked him a question about, you know, what's going on in Mexico and why the cartels are growing and why the cartels are making so much money out of the human smuggling. It seems like that topic did not come up in the press conference. Now, maybe somebody meant to ask that question and didn't get to it, but that to me is a very relevant question. We the president of Mexico should be answering those questions when he comes here and he's criticizing the governor of Texas for something that the governor of Texas is doing. So I just hope that somebody in the media, if they interview the president of Mexico, I think he's already back in Mexico anyway, but somebody will interview and ask him that question. Now, speaking of Texas, there is a brand new poll that came out that shows that Governor Abbott is 5 points ahead of Beto O'Rourke. And it's 49-44, with 2% going to a third-party candidate, a Libertarian, and roughly 5% undecided. Now, when you look at the poll and you see what are the issues that are really concerning people of Texas, the people voting Republican are very concerned about the border. They're concerned about crime. They're concerned about issues like that. And the people voting for Beto O'Rourke are very concerned about abortion. They're concerned about voting equality or whatever. So clearly, these are two different people. So who are these five who are undecided in this particular poll? I don't know, because the dynamics of the poll do not explain to you who these people are. My guess, and this is just my guess, that many of these 5% or the 5 points or whatever you want to call them are Republicans who are angry with Governor Abbott about the border. You may remember that during the primaries, Governor Abbott got like about 30% of the Republican voters voted for alternatives to Governor Abbott in the primary. He still won the primary easily, but there is a lot of disenchantment with some people within the the state of Texas about the border, and they may be taking it out on Governor Abbott and not committing to one candidate or the other. My guess is that 5% or those 5 points who are still undecided, my guess is that most of them are Republicans, because if they are undecided and they're very concerned about gun control or abortion or Roe v. Wade, they would already be voting for Beto O'Rourke. So I think most of those 5 points or 5% in that poll who are undecided, my guess is they are Republicans who are angry at the governor for the border. And that's my guess is that most of those people, that five, are going to turn to Governor Abbott or not vote at all. That's how I see it. I still stick to my projection or my prediction that this is going to be a 7 to 9 point race. It's going to be 54-45 or 53-46, something in that range. And that is how Governor Abbott is going to be reelected for a third term. Well, today we remember on this day in history, we remember one of the most interesting political personalities of our generation, and that's President Gerald Ford, who was born on this day in 1913. He was born in Michigan. Actually, technically, he was born in Nebraska, but he grew up in Michigan. He was born in Nebraska because when he was just a little baby, his original father left him, left the mother and the baby, and then the mother and the baby moved to Michigan, where they met a man named Gerald Ford, a doctor. He was a doctor, a very successful doctor. And that Gerald Ford adopted the baby and gave him his name, even though he was not his son. And Gerald Ford grew up in Michigan never knowing that that was not his real father until later when he was a teenager. He actually did meet his biological father. But he grew up in Michigan, but he was born in Nebraska, as I was saying, because of that situation with his father leaving his mom and the baby when they were very young. He had a very successful political career, Gerald Ford, and he was looking to retire. But then in 1974, he became president of the United States when Richard Nixon resigned. He originally became vice president when Spiro Agnew resigned, and then he became president when Richard Nixon resigned. And, you know, he was the answer to a great trivia question, you know, what president became president without ever having been elected? And the answer is, of course, Gerald Ford. He was a great man. He was a guy who was very good, I think a very good man, and probably would have been probably would have won the election on his own in 1976. But I think the pardon of Richard Nixon really hurt him, even though Over time, we've seen that the pardon of Richard Nixon was the right thing to do, but because he had to put Watergate behind him. I mean, you couldn't go on. Watergate and the Nixon presidency had to be put behind. So he made the right decision when he pardoned Richard Nixon, but popular, of course, it was not, and it became a real difficult problem for him. So he was defeated by Jimmy Carter in 1976, and he went into retirement, and he spent the next 30 years of his life in retirement, but a very good man, Gerald Ford, a very good man who became the 38th president of the United States, a real asterisk next to his name because he was never elected, but he became president through the resignation of the president and then later the resignation of President Nixon. But I always loved Gerald Ford. I thought he was a really good, decent man. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And it's very hot in Texas. That's all I can tell you. So protect yourself. It's supposed to be raining today. I'm not sure if it actually rained, but it was supposed to rain today. Have a good day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto, and we'll talk to you later.